Hey, the winter sports season gets back underway this week, and that means more wrestling on tap and really the strength of the season moving forward as we have about, 6-7 weeks now before we focus on the state wrestling tournament. And to get ready for the stretch run, let's bring in Tim Yount with On the Mat Rankings. He joins us for the second time this year. And Tim, I hope you had a good holiday break and are geared up for another run at wrestling here.
Literally about 150 hours working on wrestling over the break just to get myself to a point where I could feel really confident that what we have right now on paper is going to be a good stepping off point for us to go into 2022.
Yeah, it's been a weird year because the one thing I've always been impressed with your rankings is your first set of rankings don't differ much from the end of the season because you kind of nail it from the get-go. But this year, man, the latest set you brought out right before Christmas, there was a ton of changes there.
You know what? There have been, and it's a combination of weight changes, a combination of new kids. We've got a good stock of freshmen coming in, but it's mainly we've gotten some matchups this year that we didn't have in previous years. A matchup like at UNC, a matchup in the Warrior Classic, maybe a John Mall invite the week before the break. And so these matchups have really shifted some of these positions much more dramatically than they probably ever have in the past. And we'll probably continue to see that over the next couple of weeks as we see kids shifting to new weights.
Yeah, we've talked about that several times over the years about late in the season moving weights, but it seems like kids are starting to move earlier this year. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is fair, and I think it's very accurate. And I think part of it is mainly for team. You know, I've had a lot of people say, you know what, I need to get down because we have a really good 32-pounder we need to get to the lineup. And right now, he's just too small to be at 38. And so I think that is what's forcing some of this. And teams want to be organized. They want to be situated in the right places come, you know, certain tournaments. You know, you have a great Florence tournament coming up in 2 weeks, which is like a 3A mini state. And you have Top of the Rockies coming up pretty soon. And kids want to be in the right weights. Coaches want their kids to be in the right weights. So they get the right kids in the right place and get some mat time.
Does that ever solidify down, or do we have to wait for regionals to determine where these teams are going to place their kids?
Well, you know what? It's going to happen that you're going to get kids get hurt. And I talk about this every year. And I went back and reviewed my notes from previous years. And we have grades that seem to hit kids at horrible times right in January. We have weight shifts. We have transfers coming in. You know what? We're always going to have a few shifts of regionals. And the few shifts are going to be shifts that coaches are going to hang on to, right? The weight dissension plan allows them to maybe get a kid from heavyweight down to 220. And there's a couple schools out there. If they get some heavyweights down to 220, they've just added another 18 to 20 points to their team totals, which means now they're maybe a top 10, or now maybe they're a top 5 team. A lot of movements we're going to see over the next several weeks.
All right. Let's look at some of that movement, starting in the smaller classes in 2A. You had some new faces into the rankings. Wiggins has great wrestling history, but you moved him into the top 10 in your last set of 2A.
I did, and it's really based on the strength of their two heavier kids. You know, I got an email from Pepper Rusher's parents, and they said he's not a 195-pounder. He's gone up to wrestle some really good competition, and he's coming down to 82. So he'll be the one at 82, and they've got an incredible heavyweight. And so they really score 50 points with two kids. But 50 points is a top 10 team. That's why we put them in that 10th position.
And Centauri moved up to the top spot. A lot of changes atop the pole in all classification, but Centauri takes over number one in 2A.
You know what? They do, and people maybe said, wow, they didn't have a great UNC before the break. And I look at that tournament as more or less a litmus test for how kids wrestle certain kids from other classes. And I just thought Centauri just wrestled some really good kids with their middle-of-the-road kids pretty well. And I think that team has got a lot more depth than what maybe some people thought they originally had. And when they get situated to the right way, and I still think they're going to probably do one, maybe two shifts, they're going to be a really hard team to beat. And I think, you know, people said Buena Vista, wow, you shot them right down out of that one spot. And it's mainly because I'm waiting for one of their studs to get back in the lineup. And I did a 2-week wait on moving the teams around too dramatically. But that third week, I get rid of kids that haven't shown up in lineup, state placers in many kids or many places, and state qualifiers in other places. And so the team totals do shift a lot more when that happens. And Buena Vista is one of those. When they get this other state champion or state placer back, they're going to be a contender back to that one spot again.
All right. So let's look at Class 3A here. Gunnison and Brush, a couple of new teams into your top 10. Again, both those teams have great wrestling tradition, and you get them back in the rankings.
They've earned it. Gunnison, I'll tell you what, Coach Urich out there, boy, he is building a team. He's doing a great job, and I think we're going to see brush with some really good kids. You know, I was able to go to the Western Slope, and I was able to see some of those kids wrestle in a tournament that had really good 2A, 3A competition. Brush was impressive, and I think that team's a lot deeper than what they maybe originally thought they even had. You know, they get some kids in the lineup that may have been out because of grades or couldn't get the right weight. Now they're in the right weight, and they're making grades, and that's going to be a really tough team to keep out of the top 10.
And Mullen, I want to mention them because you moved the Mustangs into the top spot in 3A, and Eaton is one of those teams that took a dive in your last polls. But talk about Mullen again. They're a team we don't often mention when it comes to wrestling, and here you have them as the best team in 3A.
First time in 28 years,
yeah.
I went back to the records. The first time in 20 years I've ever put them number one in a state ranking. But here's what they have. They have quality. We talk about this a lot, Kevin, through the years, where you could win a state title with quality, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Mona Vista years ago that won the state title with five really good kids. You've had other teams that have had four or five good kids that have won state titles. Guess what? They have five kids that we have ranked in the top four. And it goes like this. First, fourth, second, and that's over 100 points. They're going to be a team. Right now, I think they're positioned. Their kids can really wrestle well. They ride hard. They score points. They're really offensive. I like this team a lot, and I think that the shocker probably for a lot of people is, well, you had them down there in third and fourth, and all of a sudden you put them in first, but they earned it, and they showed at UNC they could actually do it with some pretty good quality performances.
And Eaton, former number one, I think third or fourth in your latest poll. I didn't make that note,
yeah.
But they're a team that went down a little bit.
They did go down a little bit, as you noted in the preamble to this 3A section, and I think it's mainly because they had a late run in football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kids aren't really at the highest level of performance yet. They have some kids who are really wrestling well, don't get me wrong, but they've got another state placer who's not yet in that lineup that when he gets back in there, he's going to put them back in contention to be a discussion for that 1-2 spot. They're in 3 now. But I think that's a team that I still like them as a favorite as we get later into the season.
All right, let's move into Class 4A. I don't think it's a surprise you have Falcon as the new number one team in your latest poll. You had them, I believe, top three, top four to start the year. They had a really good December.
You know, they did, and they wrestled at UNC about as well as you can wrestle. You know, they won that tournament by mm-hmm. 10 over Cheyenne Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But they had kids step up in every way that you expect them to be tough. They were tougher than tough. They won some ways that I didn't think they would win, especially when you start looking at 220, where you have to beat, you know, a kid from Brighton who's arguably one of the top five or six in the nation, and Falcon just goes after it. And he just had a great tournament. And I think there are other kids in the weights, too, that they're deep, and they're really going to be tough to beat. And I think the key in 4A is where you're going to have a lot of question marks. Falcon is really good. Cheyenne Mountain is going to get two kids back after the break who are going to score points for them. Pueblo East was fourth before this final tabulation that we did, and they're going to get a state champion back at 220. So all of a sudden now you throw into the mixer a couple kids coming back, and Falcon's going to get pushed because of that.
But a win at the UNC tournament with such a great field, that has to give that team, I mean, they probably went in with a chip on their shoulder and came out with a boulder of confidence.
Well, you know, it's always interesting talking to coaches and some of the parents, and they're like, I think you've got Falcon underranked. I'm like, you know, right now, what I see, they're where they need to be. But you come out of UNC at the Christmas class, and all of a sudden you're like, you know what? No, you can't sit them in a 3-4 position any longer. They've earned that right to be there.
Right.
You're going to have to knock them off now in order to take them out of those positions. So the key for them is really going to be maintaining that level of fitness and really wrestling well and getting some kids jockeying around. There's a little bit of jockeying they're still going to do, perhaps, with some kids. They've got a heavyweight. They've got it to the lineup now, and he may score them a couple points here and there and some other things like that. The key is going to be what do the other teams do? Pueblo County has got some four rock kids, but they've got other kids who are just now really starting to turn the corner. They're going to be part of the conversation. Broomfield, which won the Warrior Classic in Grand Junction, that was a shock to me. I didn't see them doing that well. That's a really good team, and they're sitting in that 5 spot. So you watch Broomfield make some moves on that top 5, and all of a sudden you've got 5 in Greeley Central, which is really good, in Thompson Valley. 4A is really deep, and there's some really, really good teams in that division.
How many in your mind have a legitimate chance of lifting that team trophy in February in 4A?
Six.
Okay. That'll be
That's
fun.
That's how scary that division is right now. And I just mentioned them. I Falcon, Cheyenne Mountain, Pueblo East, Public County, Broomfield, Greeley Central, with an outside shot for Thompson Valley. If they get some kids wrestling well, they could be that 1-2-3 spot too. 4A is just scary right now.
Yeah, that'll be fun. The one thing you don't see a lot of change in is Class 5A. Pomona's still number one. Pondo's still number two. I think we're going to stay that way the entire year. But
yep.
After those two, talk about the rest of 5A and positioning for maybe a race for third, fourth, and fifth.
You know what? Pomona's just deep. And they're, you know, you go to Reno, right? Reno, which is arguably one of the tougher tournaments in the entire West Coast, and you finish with seven medalists. That shouldn't happen. They finished third overall. It shouldn't happen. I say it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen for a team that isn't nationally ranked. And they should be top 40, top 45 in the country. And I think maybe they'll get some votes now from some people that were sleeping on them a little bit. That's a team that's going to be really, really tough to beat. Ponderosa, they go to Reno and have three medalists there, and they still have some quality kids that aren't getting much consideration. But I think what really makes Pomona scary is this. They have 12 ranked kids. Six are ranked first. All 12 are ranked in the top six.
Hmm.
Ponderosa, 11 ranked kids, five in the one or two spot, seven in the top six. It's going to take yeoman's effort to catch those two, as you just said.
Yeah, maybe it's a Pomona duel against the rest of the state for the 5A crown. How about that? That's a new format for you.
Yeah, matter of fact, it could be P versus P, right? Pomona versus Ponderosa. You could add, Adams State, and I think Chaparral's got some kids here and there in Brighton. But it's really going to be scary when you start looking at the brackets for state, and you look at all of these Ponderosa, Pomona 1-2 ranked kids. They will have earned the right. They wrestle incredible schedules. And by the time you see them at regionals, they will be very seasoned, savvy, and ready to roll.
You mentioned Pomona out at Reno. Also want to mention one of their kids, Cardenas, at the Ironman. I believe that's in Ohio. Won his weight class. I believe I saw that's only the second Colorado wrestler ever to win a tournament there at the Ironman. So this kid has to be, especially if he wins here in February, has to be in the discussion for one of the best we've ever seen in this state.
Yeah, and I'll put him against anybody. You go to Ironman, he walks that tournament. I watched his finals match on video, and it wasn't even close. And here's a kid that's one of the top kids in the entire East Coast, and he just obliterated the kid in the final. He walked through that whole bracket. He goes to Reno and has a little tougher time. He wins a 6-5 match against a kid from St. John Bosco, but he still walks through. He had three pins, three tech falls in that one close match. He is on par right now to have the single best year of any kid that we've seen in Colorado. Not in a long time, because we obviously had a Ponderosa heavyweight who was pretty solid.
Yeah.
But in the last 10 to 15 years, Cardenas has got to be a name that you mentioned as top 1, 2, 3, maybe four that we've seen. Going to Stanford, he's going to be making his mark on the West Coast. It's so good to see a kid just excel. And he's a great kid. He's smart kid. He's got all those attributes you look for in a wrestler and a person. And I think he will be a great leader to those that are looking at, what do I want to emulate as I get older? Daniel Cardenas is that kid.
Yeah, just an amazing senior year so far, about halfway through. You mentioned you were at the Warrior out in Grand Junction. I want to talk about that tournament and UNC a little bit more in depth. You mentioned Broomfield, the champion, kind of surprised you there. Other thoughts on the Warrior Classic out on the West Slope and what you saw in person out there?
Yeah, I'll start with the Warrior. Broomfield winning it was a surprise to me. I would have picked them top five, but not to win it. But they just had that perfect tournament. They had kids that just showed up and said, you know what, I'm going to wrestle, and I'm going to wrestle well, and I'm going to wrestle hard, and they just kept advancing through the bracket. I loved what I saw from Cedar Ridge. Cedar Ridge is one of those 2A schools. I think if you were to pick any team in the state of Colorado right now that would scare me the most, Cedar Ridge is that team. I would not want to rely or relax on anything if I'm in 2A, because Cedar Ridge has got quality kids, they've got depth, they've got kids that are in the low weights, they have kids in the high weights, they've got kids that have a lot of mat time. Very, very scary group of kids right there. Fruita actually wrestled really well at the Warrior Classic and finished third, only 2 points behind Cedar Ridge. They actually had the lead for much of that tournament. Fruita is a much better team than maybe some people have made them out to be, too. Another one of those that could get six or seven kids downtown. We'll see what that ultimately means for Fruita, but I think they're going to have a lot better result the end of the year than maybe what some people thought at the beginning of the year they would have.
All right. And again, kind of some thoughts on UNC. Falcon, again, the champion there. We talked about that, but some other things that stood out for you at that Christmas holiday tournament.
Well, you know, I won't say that I was surprised by anything other than Falcon winning that tournament. Because you see Cheyenne Mountain, which was second, Pueblo East, which was third, Adams City, which was fourth, Dodge City, out of state, you know, one of the top 6A programs in the state of Colorado and should be contending for a 1, 2, or 3 finish there. Greeley Central, Eaton, Brighton, Pueblo County. The players were in the top 10 that you expected to see. So no big surprises. What the surprises were is what happened inside in some of those weights, where you had some kids that advanced through the consolation side of the bracket at levels that you just would have never seen possible. They just wrestled close and wrestled good enough to win, and they just advanced, and they obviously helped the team scores as a result of that.
All right, so a couple of good tournaments to close out December. What's on your radar coming up here as we get the season back underway this week and, again, with all thoughts moving into February?
Well, you know, this is a week that we really kind of settle back in. Kids get back into weight. They get some fitness back if they haven't wrestled through the break. You know, Cheyenne Mountain's hosting what they call a classification clash, which is going to be a fun little tournament with a lot of good teams. I'm going to be going there. You got Pueblo South, which is always pretty good. You've got Niwot, which is going to host a tournament. You've got a good medley of tournaments. You've got some dual tournaments. You've got some bracketed tournaments. It's going to be just kids getting back in the motion, the swing of being in the room again, and then obviously wrestling on the weekend. So I'm looking forward to it. It, you know, it's about 24 tournaments we're going to see happen, and it's sure to shake up the rankings again for the following week.
All right, and I saved the worst for last. I'm going to bring up this word COVID, and you've mentioned downtown a couple of times. Chazza did announce before Christmas that the tournament was going to be at the Ball Arena, and all four classes would be back in 16-team brackets and so on. Since then, we've had a lot of COVID news. Are you hearing anything in all your sources about changes to where this thing may happen or guidelines or whatever? Let's just talk about that and save the worst for last.
Yeah, you know, it is the worst for last because I've had a lot of people reach out to me. And as they've reached out to you too, Kevin, I'm sure on many fronts, of what's going to happen, what's it looking like. And I have not received anything officially, but, you know, I've been around COVID long enough. I work with this whole pandemic with my real work at triathlon. I get to talk to a lot of coaches and a lot of people within wrestling as well. And what we have found is that even though there's no movement right now, I think we're going to see some shifts. I think there are going to be some mandates that are going to land on the kids and going to land on the spectators as we go forward, such as vaccinations maybe could be required of anybody that shows up at Ball Arena, if indeed we even still go to Ball Arena.
Yeah.
You know, there's been some side chatter about, do we go back to Pueblo? Is there going to be moving something to an events arena in Colorado Springs, or do you stay in Denver? There's going to be questions about whether the kids have to wear masks and what's going to happen with that. And wrestling with masks is like suffocating yourself.
Right.
If you've ever done it before, if you ever run or exercise with a mask on, it's really, really hard to breathe. And it just does change the complexity of things. Some kids will quit if they hear news that they have to do this because they have done this before. That's a horrible thing to say, but we will get some fallout as a result of this. So what ultimately we're going to see between vaccinations and mask requirements and all these things is really up in the air. It's really going to be determined by Chassa and by what happens with Ball Arena and or any other arena that's going to be having to confront this as part of the discussion. But normally it's not good when we start seeing the number of cases we're seeing in the state of Colorado, and they're hitting right now, right at the pinnacle of the season as we're making strides and kids are getting fitness, and we're hoping for something better than what we ultimately could have. I'm hoping for the best, but fearing that it could get much worse.
What I've heard from sources that I have, Tim, about the situation is that when they made the announcement about Ball Arena, the thought was that fans attending would have to go into the COVID protocols that were in place for Ball Arena, and at that time it was vaccine approval. You know, had to wear a mask inside, even though they're not really heavy on making you do that for Avs games and Nuggets games. But concerning wrestlers, what I've heard, Tim, is it's going to be up to the schools to certify, verify, whatever, that your kid can compete. And if he's certified come Thursday morning or in the first round Thursday afternoon, he'll be able to wrestle the entire weekend without undergoing further testing. Now, that was back in December. That was before Omicron hit really hard. So that could change. But that's what I'm hearing at this point, that the schools are going to be responsible for certifying the kids that qualify for their team at the state tournament.
Well, I actually think that's positive.
I do too.
You're going to find the white lining in something that can be so gray. I think that would be better than what the alternatives could otherwise present. So I hope it's not too drastic or dramatic. The steps have to be taken in multiple days where you have kids pulling out of brackets or having to drop out because of certain tests that take place during the week. So that news is good news in my mind, Kevin, relative to comparatively to what we otherwise could see.
Yeah, the thing I keep telling people, it's severely fluid, that what happens today could be different tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. So we just have to be patient and probably wait till the week of regionals and state before we get a final answer on what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I hope that coaches keep kids excited,
yep,
energized, working hard, and doing all those things. Because if you start planning about, for the future of what the state's going to bring and what regions are going to bring, there's that fear, there's that trepidation, there's that uncertainty that makes wrestling no longer fun. And wrestling is an amazing sport, and it should be fun, and we should be thinking about all the great things that it does in support of the sport, as it does in support of kids, coaches, family members, spectators, friends, and everybody else.
And I want to close by highly recommending that you subscribe to Tim Yount's email, weekly email, because he mentioned all the work that he did over Christmas break. You were eating turkey and cranberries and stuffing and potatoes. He was ranking kids and teams. And we put out top four individuals in eight weight class. A lot of times Tim ranks 15, 20 deep in those respective weight classes. He also gives notes on why kids are ranked, and he has regional rankings so you can see where your bracket is playing out. So I highly recommend you subscribe to Tim's weekly email, and he's going to tell us how you get that.
And it's really easy. All you have to do is just email me, tim@onthematrankings.com, or just go to Venmo. I have a Venmo account, which is tim-yant-2, and about 80% of the people are paying via Venmo now, or PayPal, which is just using my email address that I just gave, tim@onthematrankings.com, and we'll get you hooked up. It's $20 for the boys, it's $6.95 for the girls, it's $26.95 total. And we promise you, if you don't get the value from those rankings that you want, we'll refund your money 100%. I make that point every year, and I continue to make it. During a pandemic or not, we're here to service, and hopefully it's what people are expecting and wanting to see in wrestling support system.
All right, Tim, we appreciate your support of wrestling. It's a new year, 2022. Thanks for your time. Have fun the rest of the way, and I'm sure we'll hook up before the regionals and state get going.
I'm sure we will too, Kevin. Thanks for all you do too. You incredible job just helping the sport be viable and fluid and everything else. So thanks for all the support you give to the sport of wrestling as well.